How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvers and Dave Meltzer here on Wrestling Observer Radio. It is May 24th, 2011, here at figure4online.com/wrestlingobserver.com. We have Raw to talk about here tonight. Got some UFC news, a lot of questions as well. And Dave, how you holding on?
I'm kind of getting sick, but I'm all right.
Uh-oh. Yeah. I kind of felt that same way today myself, but...
Yeah, well, I mean, I hardly slept at all last night and just kind of run down.
Maybe you gave it to me over the phone.
Yeah, possibly, I don't know.
Let's talk about Raw. They did, in fact, pay tribute to Randy Savage with a really nice video, actually. Very nice video.
Yeah.
CM Punk as well came out in old-school Randy Savage gear, which...
They should have let a babyface do that.
It was weird.
You know, it really shouldn't have been him because it didn't get any kind of a reaction. Because I don't think... I mean, I think... I can't imagine that a lot of people didn't recognize it, but it isn't like there was a reaction to it either.
Yeah, I mean, you know... Somebody was, I talked to somebody today that went to the WWE pay-per-view last night, ran into him at the gym, and he was talking about how, you know, there are kids everywhere, which, as we've mentioned before, there have always been a lot of kids at WWE shows, but there used to be a lot more adults, and so now that a lot of the adults are no longer going to shows, it looks like the place is just overrun with kids, but it's really the same number of kids, it's just you see them more now because there's less adults, but...
Right, right. I always tell people that, and it's like, you know... Because, I mean, the demos, as far as TV, the TV numbers of kids is actually, like, you know, much lower than it used to be.
Oh, yeah.
As far as total gross number of kids that watch WWE. But by a percentage, when you go to the matches, they're higher because, you know, that 18 to 34 age group is just not going as much, you know, to a degree. I mean, the live attendance numbers, I mean, they're down again now, but up, you know, that mid-February through WrestleMania drew very, very well. I think people came back when The Rock was around because wrestling was cool, and now that Rock's not around, wrestling's gone back to, you know, where it was before Rock came, pretty much. You know, ratings-wise, sort of says the same thing.
Anyway, the point of this is that, you know, a lot of little kids, you know, they would see CM Punk in that ring gear and have no idea what he was doing, you know? It's Randy Savage.
It doesn't take a lot of people in a building to get a reaction.
Well,
I mean,
no.
There's certainly enough adults, but I just thought it was the wrong guy. You know, I mean, it was cool. I'm glad someone did it. I mean, I thought that was really cool and all that. But, you know, someone probably, I don't know, maybe no one else could have gotten away with wearing that stuff anyway. But we should have seen an elbow off the top. Just someone should have done that.
Well, we got a couple last night.
Yeah.
Let's look at his show. Talk about all of the matches here in detail.
This was a weird show.
It was a weird show, yeah. It was. This is the first show to build up the Capital Punishment pay-per-view, and really we know almost nothing about that show, which is interesting because it is sandwiched in between 2 3-hour Raws. And so if this ain't a big pay-per-view, which it's not looking like it's going to be, this show is going to die.
Yeah, I figured we'll probably get another Randy Orton-Christian match because they'll have to shoot they're going to have to shoot that angle on... tomorrow or next week.
Well, actually, they teased for SmackDown that we were going to have a match on Friday.
A rematch?
They said Christian is going to get his match again on Friday, or he wants his match on Friday, or something like that.
Well, he had the match on last Friday's show because I didn't see SmackDown. On last Friday's show, they would have teased for Sunday's pay per view.
Yeah,
I don't think they would have said.
No, but this was on Raw.
I didn't see it, but I would think it would make no sense at the end of SmackDown to say...
No, when Raw was... They had a commercial on Raw.
Oh, did they?
Yes.
I must have missed it.
Yes.
And I usually don't miss that stuff.
It was near the end of the show, but yeah. They certainly teased there would be a match on Friday. I don't know if they'll actually do it or not, but that was
maybe they will then.
What they indicated, but opened up with a short video, not a video, a still photo, a tribute to the Macho Man. Lawler came out to a big ovation and talked about how he'd finally beaten Michael Cole. He'd made him kiss his foot, introduced Bret Hart. Bret came out and cut a promo about how he always loved being on Raw and put over Jerry Lawler and said, we'd have our differences over the years, but I always respected you as a competitor. And he was all excited that Cole had been put away. And finally out came Truth. And Truth said, Bret, aren't you a... 100-time world champion? And Bret said something like that, and Truth said, how many times do you think I've been in a world title match? And the answer, he said, in a complete burial of TNA, was
I was gonna say
zero.
That.
Zero, in fact.
Yeah.
So he did some comedy. I don't even know if it was... I mean, it was funny. It wasn't designed to be comedy.
He was trying to be obnoxious.
Yeah, just being obnoxious. He took Brett's glasses, put them on a kid, and said maybe now he should get a title shot, and crowd told him he sucked and this and that, and talked about how he took out Morrison, he beat Ray, now he should get a shot, and perhaps he should take out a legend. So Brett told him to take his best shot and called him a lunatic, and Truth could not believe he'd been called a lunatic. Out came John Cena, and Cena essentially was in the middle of challenging to a fight when the GM dinged. And the GM ruled that Truth had been doing all right, but he needed to prove himself a little more before he could get a title match. And so tonight it was going to be Truth and Punk against Ray and Cena. And he said he'd be paying close attention to that match and determining whether Truth is going to get a title shot. And the guest referee, he added, was going to be Bret Hart. And at that point, I decided that the Truth was right. This is a grand conspiracy to keep him away from the title.
I don't know, because, you know, like when that match ended, you're supposed to come up with the obvious choice of, well, obviously, this guy's getting the title shot. And when that match ended, you just came up with, like, that was a weird ending.
They had a match.
They had a match. And, I mean, the thing with the match was that Rey Mysterio pinned CM Punk.
Yep.
So it was like, you know, Rey got his win back because he lost, even Steven booking. But nobody was put over for a championship match.
Well,
I thought R-Truth did a really good interview. When he was done in that first segment, I was hoping, I didn't think it will draw, but, you know, I don't know that anything will. But I thought that it would be nice to see him get that match, even though I thought, you know, I mean, Punk's more over and actually better, but, you know, Punk had the program earlier in the year, and Truth is something new, and I just thought he did really well.
I presume the Truth is going to get the shot. And
I mean, the best I can say is he did not lose
in that match.
Right, but Jesus Christ, he needs all the help he can get. He should have beaten somebody,
or
if nothing else, laid some. Even if, like, let's say they pin Punk, Truth should have, like, laid out Cena afterwards, or laid out Brett as much as you can lay out Brett, or lay out Ray, or some. It's just like the show shouldn't have ended like that. When the show ended like that, I was like, who approved that finish of the show? Because it's just like, you know, unless there's like some big thing that they got going with Brett, I don't think there is, because he was supposed to go tomorrow morning to Hawaii for 6 weeks, unless they told him he can't do it. I mean, that was certainly the plan.
Yeah.
So I think this was like you know one and done for Brett. So it was like, what? I didn't get it.
We had Big Show and Kane chatting backstage on leaning against Alberto's car, and Ricardo ran up and chewed him out in Spanish, and they shoved him on his ass, and then Alberto stormed up and cut a promo in Spanish, and Kane and Show just sort of walked off. And this, by the way, was one giant 17-minute segment to open up the show. Big Show and Kane against Otunga and Michael McGillicuddy. Luckily, I watched this a couple of hours ago, so I've calmed down a little bit, but I hated this match with such a passion. I hated this match.
Really? It was just what I thought. I mean, the minute they started going about how nobody can beat Big Show and Kane, I go like, oh my God, they're changing the tag team titles and putting it on these guys, which really surprised me, because, you know, they've just been nothing. They've done nothing with them. They've treated them like garbage, and now, you know, basically you make your tag team champions garbage who can be on both shows. But, you know, I mean, it's the in theory it's the Nexus revitalization.
Oh,
but
a hell of
then,
a job they did doing
revitalizing
revitalization, these guys.
Then why did Punk lose?
Listen, these guys came out here, and first off, last night on the pay-per-view, the Big Show and Kane beat Punk and Batista. And how that led to Otunga and Michael McGillicuddy getting a title match?
Well, they beat him in a non-title match, remember?
And they got laid out and made to look like geeks yesterday.
Yes, they did. But
so
they beat him in a non-title match, so they did get their championship match after all.
All right. Now, okay, fine. So they get in the ring, and they're doing this match, and the match is really not all that good. And
But what do you expect? I mean, you put that match on paper, how good is it going to be?
Here's my problem with the match. What was the finish last night?
The finish last night was double choke slam on Mason Ryan.
That's right. That's right. Well, that was a finish. Anyway,
did I ruin your speech?
You ruined my speech a little bit because I was thinking actually of the I was confused the Nexus the bullshit DQ and the match with what's his face, the Intercontinental title match last night.
Oh, well, with Ezekiel Jackson, Wade Barrett.
Yeah. Doesn't matter. The point is, geeks ran in last night and it was a DQ. Okay.
Yeah.
So tonight,
but this time they didn't. It wasn't a DQ.
Not only that, Mason Ryan just hits the ring right in front of the referee. And the ref, I mean, he's inside the ring, and the ref tries to get him out of there. No DQ, just tries to get him out of the ring.
Yeah.
So he's getting him out of the ring and this and that, and as he's distracted, CM Punk, I guess he jumps in there and he kicks, like, Kane, and he kicks Big Show in the back of the head.
Right.
And Big Show gets DQ'd, and I just...
No, not DQ'd, he gets double DDT'd.
Double DDT'd and pinned. I just couldn't figure out why do you... Why did the ref need to be distracted for a guy interfering, by a guy interfering?
Well,
the guy
interfering, I mean, he did go over the top with Kane, so he really did interfere.
He was in the ring.
Yeah.
He was in the ring, and the ref's just like, oh, you need to get out of the ring because it's okay to get in the ring, and then the other guy interferes, but the ref couldn't see that one.
I guess in theory, he got in the ring, but Kane went for him and clotheslined him over, whereas in the sense... He didn't go after Kane first, whereas Punk, you know, did the move and did an offensive move. You know, I mean, his interference or his physicalness was basically taking the clothesline from Kane and going over the top.
It's all bullshit. And then you got a title change because of a guy running in and then another guy running in. Nobody gets over. The belts are on Otunga and this other guy. It was just, this was all just a complete waste of time.
Well, I won't argue that they made the tag team titles, you know, pretty useless.
Let's just say that Show is out of action for a while with a knee injury, which one would presume.
I would presume that, but you know, I haven't gotten anything back. You know, have you got anything back to confirm that?
No.
Yeah, I asked a couple of people,
but
I
presume he's not on next week. I'd presume he'd be out for a little while. Maybe I'm wrong.
I would think that if they did something that big, that he's going to have knee surgery.
So just beat the damn guy.
Well, they're not going to have David Otunga or McGillicuddy beat.
Then why are they the champs? Then why are they even being pushed?
These new guys as tag team champs? I'm completely mystified because the other thing is tag team champions should be on both shows.
Both shows.
Theory. And so you should have it on, like, stars that you would want on both shows. And I don't even want them on Raw to begin with, let alone on SmackDown.
No.
So nobody
cares about them. They got any heat. They don't have good matches. And you know, you had to do multiple guys interfering to put the tag titles on them. So now they can be on both shows having matches nobody cares about, and they have no credibility.
I bet you they're not even on both shows. They don't even bother with them on SmackDown. I mean, we'll see. Maybe I'm wrong on that.
Hated this. Everything about it.
Well, I can see in the sense that. I mean, you know, them as tag team champions, you know, all it does is, you know, make the tag team titles disappear. But the tag team titles, you know, they meant a little bit with Big Show and Kane because they're kind of stars, but it wasn't like they were having great tag matches. It's too bad, like, we don't have, like, tag teams, you know, like those, you know, those good work and tag teams. You know what I mean?
Well, they aren't Otunga and McGillicuddy, I'll tell you that.
No, absolutely not.
Big Show and Kane are all pissed off backstage about what just happened, presumably because of everything I just said. And Alberto walked up and was gloating and laughing and slapped Show and ran off. And they did a jump cut with some static, like the camera had been hit. And when they round the corner, giant down. Big Show's been run over by Ricardo Rodriguez's car. And Show pitched a fit. Screaming and yelling, son of a bitch, all of these words that are decidedly not PG. And they actually, I mean, he played this up like, you know, he'd been shot multiple times. And then they come back from a commercial, and now he's kind of trying to no-sell it and get to his feet. And, you know, looks like he's going to be out for a while.
Yeah, I thought Show was really good in that segment.
Yeah.
Really good. But, when I watched it, yeah, I thought, you know, that he probably must need knee surgery, you know, because it didn't make sense to go that far for an angle if it's like a 1 week angle, you know. It just doesn't you know. And plus, when you switch the tag team titles to guys that have had, like, not even a week worth of, you know, like, well, I guess they had a week, but you know, not really much of a build-up, kind of tells you that it wasn't something that, like, you know, 2 weeks ago, it wasn't like they knew that they were going to do this.
I don't know why guys can't just win. It just baffles me.
Well, I mean, it's a, you know, every situation's different. But I, you know, they don't, it's not in their MO to put those two guys over clean on Big Show and Kane. But it should have been two other guys.
So have two guys that can beat, so have a team where at least one guy can beat the Big Show if he's leaving for knee surgery.
Yeah. Well, you know, here's the other thing. Okay, so if Big Show's leaving for knee surgery, okay, if he is, I guess Alberto's going to get the heat for running him over so they can do him and Alberto down the line. But
oh, now that's a match we need to see.
Oh, yeah, I know. It's great for Alberto. But, the, you know, maybe they should have Alberto and Ricardo Rodriguez win the belts.
I'm fine with that.
At least then you have one guy who's really good, who can be on both shows, and when it comes time to lose, you can beat Ricardo and not even have to worry about how you do the finish because you got an easy finish.
And actually, that would make one presume that perhaps it's going to be CM Punk and John Cena, because if it's not, why don't you just have Punk and Batista win the belts?
I don't know. Which actually would have been better, because in their minds, you know, Mason is obviously someone that at one point they were really high on 2 weeks ago, although based on last night, I don't know how high, and Punk is awesome. I mean, he's just such a great talker. And a great character, and I like the idea of Punk and Mason Ryan, because it enables Punk to kind of hide behind him and things like that, and then if it comes down to, like, where you need to work a long time, you can keep Mason Ryan out of the ring. Like, that's not a bad use of a tag team, and it's a colorful team. You know, I mean, you got the big muscle guy and the guy who's an awesome talker, whereas with, you know, the other two, you know, the guys they've got as the champions, McGillicuddy and Otunga, you just got two faceless dudes that aren't over.
So another mystifying segment. Swagger
now,
came out.
That wasn't the most mystifying segment on the show.
No, that's to come. Swagger came out and killed Evan Bourne and beat him clean. Hit his powerbomb deal. And then he's doing his victory dance around the ring, and Evan jumps up and gives him a boot and runs away. What?
You know,
so we can have a second match where Swagger kills him?
What?
So we can have a second match where Swagger kills him?
Probably. Or maybe this in the second one they have a different finish.
Hmm. I don't know if I'd count on that one.
Yeah. I mean, there's, you know, that was fine. I didn't have a problem with that. I mean, I should. Because it should be like one of those things where someone should go over, and all this did is it put somebody over, and then at the end, you know, it's like you give a little and then you take a little, and it's like, then what do you accomplish?
Yeah, you get nobody over.
Yeah, nobody. Yeah. Nobody goes over. So, but if they go in there and they've got, you know, like they bring it back next week or something, and then he beats them again, maybe then that's like the little thing of, you know, where they can bring it back next week, because it wasn't as if, like, they had a real program for Swagger. They really had anything going with Swagger, because it looks like Kofi Kingston's going with Ziggler. You know, and God knows we don't need Kofi Kingston Swagger right now anyway. That's been done to death. So Swagger's kind of, you know, kind of doesn't have anyone. So they may have to, you know, maybe they have to make Evan Bourne a little bit right now.
Oh, this is a great way to do it.
Yeah, well, I know. Beat him with a doctor bomb and like.
I mean, for God's sake, if you want to do Evan Bourne Swagger twice, and let him have a real good match, and I don't even care if Swagger wins, just have him have a real good match. Swagger wins, maybe Evan kicks him afterwards, and then you're like, okay, well, maybe I want to see this match again next week. Why would anyone want to see this match next week?
You know what they could do? I guess they wouldn't have time for it, but if they wanted to bring it back, do a 10-minute draw.
Come on now, Dave.
I know. When was the last time they had a draw
ridiculous.
In WWE? It's like every other sport you can have time limits, right? But not this one.
No, of course not. That will make it too much like a sport. So Michael Cole came out, and he apologized. He said he was sorry. He apologized to Jerry, and apologized to Josh, and the ring guy and everybody, the girls, begged to have his...
I got to say this. I did think that it was really clever when he was backstage and all the girls were laughing at him, and he goes to shake Eve Torres' hand, and she stuck up her foot.
Yeah.
I thought that was very clever.
So Lawler made some jokes, gave him some Altoids, and Cole said, "I deserve that. Now can I sit out?" And Lawler was like, "Sure." So Cole is back, and at least for this week, he's reserved, quiet, putting everybody over, and the old Michael Cole is gone for a while.
It was weird because there was one part where he was announcing where it seemed like he was sarcastically being a babyface, but it was only one segment, and then the rest of it seemed like he was trying to, you know, morph back into his old character, because I think that they recognize what we've all recognized, which is that
while there's, course.
You know, while there's some very redeeming parts of the Michael Cole character, and he gets great heat, and then he's a great heel. That's not the job of a lead announcer, and you're hurting your product by having the lead announcer do that. So now they're bringing him back as lead announcer. You know what? I think he should have been a manager or somebody, because it isn't easy to get that kind of heat. If someone's got it, don't get rid of it. And you know, of course, the only problem is that when I carry on, the next move is to bring back Ross as an announcer, and that ain't happening.
Then we had a fascinating segment. Out came The Miz and Alex Riley. And Miz explained that a couple of pay-per-views back, Riley had screwed it up for him.
By not coming out.
Yeah, there was a three-way cage match, and Riley didn't come out to interfere, so it was all his fault he didn't lose. And then the next night, he'd actually won the title, but then Riley fucked up by dropping the belt, and the ref saw it, and so Miz got disqualified, and he didn't win then. And then last night, in a two-on-one match, they still couldn't beat John Cena, and so that was all Riley's fault. And he said, and what was actually a great line, Riley was so unhelpful, that was his word, unhelpful, that it was not Cena who was in a handicap match last night, it was myself, The Miz. So, he's very, very angry, and he's demanding another shot at Cena. And this time he wants a one-on-one match with no Alex Riley. So, the GM dings in and says that not only is your request denied, but...
Request denied, but
you lost at the pay-per-view, and therefore you are done with John Cena. No more championship matches. So, Miz starts cutting a promo on Riley. Says it's all Riley's fault. Demands an explanation. Riley said, well, it wasn't me who said, I quit. And so Miz pie-faced him, cut a promo on him, said that you wouldn't even be here if it wasn't for me. You're nothing without me. I took you all the way to the main event of WrestleMania. You've been one big disappointment after another. I'm sick of your mind-numbing stupidity, and therefore you are fired. So he kept slapping him around, at which point Alex Riley, everybody, proceeded to beat the shit out of The Miz. He tore his clothes off. He beat the holy hell out of him. He threw him into the announcer's table. Over the table. He threw him back into the ring. He stomped a mud hole in him in the corner. Crowd was chanting Riley's name, believe it or not. And he finally gave him one big final boot and stormed out. And I don't know. Riley was like everything in this angle that Miz should have been since day one, and they never let him be. And I just was like, I was just baffled watching this.
Well, you know, this is one where we got to look in a month, you know, because we see this stuff happen all the time, and then a month later it's kind of like, why did they do this? So let's wait the month. But I liked it because it was like the R-Truth thing when R-Truth went and turned heel, and this one when Riley turned face. I mean, it was a pretty good instant reaction.
It was great.
Yeah,
but it's now 2 days in a row that I don't even know how you rebuild Miz from here. I mean, he's like,
Miz can talk; he'll be fine. I got no problem. I know he hasn't been booked the best, especially lately, but
I don't know.
He'll be fine in the long run.
Well, we shall see. I don't know. I don't know.
But I know what I don't know is it was because Miz and Riley were together for so long and the breakup meant something, and he got over it. But I don't know about Riley as a babyface on his own. I mean, like maybe like for one match with Miz, it'll be okay. Probably will be okay, but like he may be being put in too deep of a water for himself because you know he's really not that good of a worker. He's a good talker, but it's a heel. I mean, I know he's tall and he's got that look that they like, but goddamn, that doesn't mean shit. It really doesn't because everyone looks like that. So you don't stand out doing that. So you know, well, we'll see. I mean, I always thought he had some potential as far as you know charisma, not so much the work. We'll see how he goes. It worked for the one day, but you know, when I was watching it and you know, kind of impressed that they're doing something, but my, you know, the track record of following up isn't the best. And it was like it's Alex Riley who, you know, when he's in there on his own, you know, he hasn't exactly lit the world on fire in the ring.
Then we had a hell of a segment. The Bella Twins and Maryse and Melina against Kelly, Gail, Beth, and Eve. And about 1 second into this match, out comes Karma. And Beth gets in the middle of the ring and she tells all the girls to get behind her. Karma gets in anyway with all eight girls. And the wagons circle Karma. And she then proceeds to fall to her knees, cowering and shaking and crying. And the crowd had no idea what to make of this, nor did I. And this was not the Karma.
It was, you know why? Because she was getting too predictable.
I see.
But that was, I don't know, man. That was...
I died.
That was the most bizarre thing on this show. I mean, that was just... I mean, when that thing was over, it was like, you know, might as well just send her home.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of overplaying it, but Jesus Christ, they undercut her. By trying to add dimension, they undercut her. I mean, there's a time maybe where you could do this where she's all remorseful and this and that, but man, that should have been like a year from now or 9 months from now. That shouldn't have been now.
This was the female version of putting the wig on Goldberg.
I think worse. I mean, not worse in the sense that she wasn't going to draw the money that Goldberg had the potential of drawing. So it's not worse there. But I think as far as people were getting into her, and they still will, but it's just that whole, I don't know. I don't know why they, I was dumbfounded by this.
Yeah. Kofi.
Dumbfounded by the whole show.
Kofi and Drew, non-title match. Kofi won. I guess they remembered this week he was the champion.
Yeah.
It's fine. And the key to
this... Drew McIntyre, for his size, he's pretty damn athletic.
They had a high spot earlier that included
the very first high spot of that match was awesome.
Running and leaping and jumping.
Yeah, I mean, Kofi can jump, but I didn't know that Drew McIntyre could jump like that. And, you know, I mean, the timing of the high spot was really good. And, I mean, I'm like, Drew McIntyre doesn't have a ton of charisma, and he was, you know, obviously overpushed, and people, like, resented him for it and all that, you know, which, you know, and they kind of even made fun of that on, you know, in this match. But, I mean, the thing is that, you know, Kofi sold, like, you know, his knee was gone, which was actually the climax of the high spot, where they copied the spot with on Tough Enough with the two girls with Ivelisse and
Sydney
Crawford. You know, where you botch the leapfrog, except it was done on purpose, and then you blow out your knee. So Kofi's out there with a blown knee, and you got Drew working on this guy with a blown knee and still losing. You know, clean trouble in paradise. So it was actually to the SOS. Because he couldn't do the trouble in paradise, and then you thought like, okay, Drew's going to beat him in a non-title, and he kicks out and beats him with the SOS, and was kind of like, well, you know, I guess in another sense this was mystifying too, except for the fact that you know they haven't done anything with McIntyre, so maybe you know it's just trying to show that Kofi had guts or something.
So they cut backstage, and there's Dolph, and while his hair is still short, he bleached it again.
Mm.
Thank God.
Yeah.
We had Nexus celebrating backstage, and Punk said, fine job. Now let me show you how I personally get this stuff done. We had Alberto doing a promo. He said he didn't know what to say about the accident, but Big Show brought it on himself. He disrespected me, and if you disrespect me, you've got to pay. And he said it wasn't his fault. It was Ricardo's fault because he was an idiot. That made me sad. They better not get rid of Ricardo.
Nah, they can't.
We had the...
Then again...
We had the Lawler speech about Savage, followed by the video, which is noted was an awesome video. I'm sure it's up on WWE.com right now, so if you're one of the few people that haven't seen it, head up there and check it out. It was awesome. That led us to Truth and Punk against Cena and Rey, with Brett as the special referee, Punk wearing the pink Randy Savage trunks with the stars on them. And
yellow boots.
And the yellow boots, yeah. They had Brett as the guest referee, and I may have missed something here, but suffice to say, the finish was they did the hot tag. You know, Ray's running wild, hits a springboard, or actually he hits a 619 on Punk. And as Punk is bumping back into the middle of the ring, Brett punches him. Then he puts him in the sharpshooter. And then Ray hits the springboard leg drop and gets the pin. And I think it was Lawler said something about, you can't put your hands on a referee or something like that. Did I miss Punk putting his hands on Brett?
I mean, I saw them arguing a couple of times, both him and Truth, you know, arguing that Brett was slow counting. But I don't, I didn't exactly see that either. I mean, I saw the deal where he hid behind him, but that wasn't, you know, worthy of getting punched.
It was a very strange finish for a number of reasons.
Yeah, no, I mean, I thought it was, you know, and again, yeah, and especially, like, where's it going? Other than it was, like, this feel-good end of the show, but it was like, they just had, like, you know, they had Ray, Cena, and Brett just in there, and it was nice, and people cheered at the end of the show, but, yeah, I didn't, unless there's, like, some storyline they just came up with for Brett, and they have, just was kind of surprising.
There's a lot of mystifying stuff on this show, and again,
maybe they figure if they confuse you enough you'll
sense.
Tune in next week. Although TNA's been trying that for 5 years and it hasn't seemed to work.
Has there ever been a show where it was built around we're gonna confuse you every week, so you must tune in the next week to find out what the hell's going on?
And then it doesn't make sense, and then
yeah.
Yeah, no, I don't know. And again, like, okay, for that pay-per-view, I mean, I guess it's weird now that it's like, you know, they've got a 4-week build this time. I think that they just feel that we can just throw away week one. And it's like, to me, I never want to throw away the week. I mean, it's like you can always tease, you know, the more time that you build something, the better it is. But I mean, like, I think that they've got this mentality that, oh, it only takes 2 weeks to build, but ever since they've had that mentality, it only takes 2 weeks to build, they haven't really done well.
No, but you also can look at it like there have been times where they've had extra weeks to build, and those extra weeks have been a detriment.
Well, they're only a detriment because they start something and change their mind. It wouldn't be a detriment if they actually were going in a direction.
Well, that's probably true.
But, I mean, the one good thing here is that they started nothing. So if they change their mind, it's not like they've, you know, it'll be obvious.
Maybe it'll be Cena and Punk and Truth.
In a three-way.
You always need a good three-way here and there, you know?
I hope not.
Let's talk about some of the UFC news. UFC in New York, a positive step, but this war has not been won.
Well, I mean, the thing is, it's passed I think it passed in the Senate before and then got nowhere in the Assembly. It's still in committee in the Assembly, so it's... You know, it's a step. If it gets out of the Assembly, the governor, Governor Cuomo, has to sign it. But I'm under the impression that he will sign it if it comes there. So that won't be an issue. But getting out of the Assembly, and which is, you know, Bob Riley's thing, that's the key. And that's been the key for a while.
And we've also got another injury update to talk about here. Jose Aldo Jr. is out. Probably won't be fighting until the fall. And Chad Mendez apparently is just going to fight.
Is he?
That's what he's claiming. He doesn't want to wait.
Well, here's the thing. If it's only a month, you know, like a month wait, he should wait the month. If it's 4 months, then you would want to. Well, you know, if you're Chad Mendes, you would want to fight. You got to make money. He's not, you know, he's not in that ballpark of people with that's making tons of money that he can like skip a rotation. So I mean, yeah, he's going to want to fight. But if it's a month and it's a championship match, then I take the month.
Well, we shall find out. But
I don't know. I'll try to check on how serious it is. But I mean, I was hearing that, like, you know, he would be ready for the September 24th pay per view. So that's, you know, from August 3rd to September 24th. That's 7 weeks. You know, you can wait the 7 weeks.
All right, let's jump into the mailbag here. We got some Randy Savage questions. So this person wants to know why Randy Savage changed his entire in-ring look around 1990, going from the short trunks and sequined capes and headbands to the long tights with matching spandex shirts, or to the ring with short fringe.
Steroid testing.
Well, there you go.
That's the answer, steroid testing. And Randy was very, I think that's one of the reasons why he became such a recluse at the end. He was really, really subconscious about a lot of things and you know, his appearance and stuff. And when he didn't have the good physique, he wanted it covered up. And then when there was no steroid testing, then he ditched it, if you remember.
The key here is the email where it says the new look hid all of his body except his arms.
Yeah.
That's the answer there. What were the circumstances behind Savage getting a role in the first Spider-Man movie? Was someone on the project a big wrestling fan?
Probably. I'm not familiar with, or if I do, I don't remember what the story was, you know, in him getting that. That was a really big thing at the time because it was a big movie, but it didn't really, you know, I mean, he did some acting stuff here and there, but it wasn't like he, you know, he didn't like kick Hollywood's ass or anything like that.
For any Savage of the mid-80s came into today's WWE, what level of a star would he be? He is so different than anything we see today. Would that disparity actually make him seem like a bigger deal, or would the creative problems, parody booking, start and stop effect, affect even someone of that talent?
Oh, of course it would. I mean, the problem is not so much coming in, but if he were to go through the developmental system, I mean, you know, he ain't getting away with that hair. He ain't going to get away with those interviews. Even though those interviews were awesome, you know, they're going to tell him, you know what I mean? He, all the individuality would be gone. They would think that the costumes are too 80s. So, yeah, that exact character coming in now. And also the other thing is he really, really stood out as a worker because he was ahead of his time. But if he worked like that now, well, he would still be really, really good, you know, really good. He wouldn't be so far ahead of the curve like he was in 1985 to where it was like undeniable. You notice it in a 3-minute match. But still, you know, I mean, a lot of the stuff that he did that guys don't do, you know, like, I mean, when I think about a lot of his moves, nobody does it, but I'm wondering if he did those moves now, if they would tell him not to, because there's guys who can do that stuff, but they don't do it, and there's probably a reason they don't do it. Because number one, I think that they don't want you know, guys getting hurt, and the other one is just I don't know. I think, you know, maybe I don't know. You know, that's probably it. They just because they don't. There's a lot more concern with guys not getting hurt now than there was in the 80s, which is funny because in the 80s they wanted, you know, those guys were doing like literally 300 nights a year, and some guys were, and he was, you know, because that guy was a workhorse. I mean, now, you know, you're doing 180 on better rings, and, you know, but the company's just, you know, they've learned, you know. I mean, the company's evolved a lot since the... God, have they evolved a lot since the 80s.
This person says, how would you guys rate the mid to late 90s Attitude Era? Someone who grew up during the Attitude Era, not having access to the Observer, I wasn't old enough to remember much before 94. Was it as good as we all made it out to be? It was exciting.
Yeah, I mean, it was a really fast-paced stuff. Some of the stuff was really good. I mean, to me, like, my favorite year of WWE, the two years I really liked, I liked 1997, and I like 2000. Because I just thought the Bret Hart, Steve Austin, Shawn Michaels stuff in 97 was tremendous. Just tremendous stuff. In 2000, I just thought that WWF in 2000 had it all. I mean, they had, like, you know, with Kurt Angle and Edge and Christian and Rock and, you know, Benoit and Guerrero and all those guys came in. And you just had, you were just loaded with workers. You were loaded with talkers. You were loaded with, you had the best writing that company ever had was in 2000. I mean, I remember when we were on a yada, and this is when it started to go down in 01. And somebody, like, had an audio tape of, like, an Edge Christian Kurt Angle segment. And I remember listening to it, and it's like, holy shit, that was, like, so much better than anything they were doing then. And it's, like, probably a million times better than anything they're doing now. So I just remember, 2000. I mean, you had really a lot of kick-ass matches because you had so many good guys that were in good positions. I thought that was a great year. So, 98, 99, you know, you had a lot of, you know, you had a lot of star power, but there's a lot of really goofy shit in 98 and 99. There really was. I can't knock it too much because they were very successful years. It was what it played, you know, and if it plays, then it's good for its time. If it sucks, if you look back and say it sucks now, then you don't get it because the deals, it's supposed to play for its time, not play for 20 years from now. Or, you know, like whenever people say, whenever I hear someone go and talk about a match from way back that everybody regarded as really good way back and go, it didn't hold up, I think that, like, you don't get wrestling because these guys are not working a match for a crowd in 1999. They're not working a match for a crowd in 2011. They're working for a crowd in 1999. If it was a great match in 1999, then it's a great match, you know.
And finally, this person says, you keep mentioning the Shawn Michaels elbow drop compared to Randy Savage's elbow drop. I was wondering if you knew whether Michaels did his elbow drop in honor of the Macho Man.
I don't think so. I think he just did it because Macho Man had left so he could steal it.
Yeah.
You know. By the way, you haven't seen Tough Enough, but...
What happened?
We have to talk about it.
All
They're
right.
down to three, which if you watched Raw, you know, you would actually know that because they did the promos, and they pretty much showed you that they were down to three. So Christina and AJ got axed. But what was interesting about it is, Andy Levine and, Jeremiah Riggs and Luke Robinson. The AJ Kirsch, who's done nothing all season, and you knew he was going to get cut this week, and he did. So they had promo class with The Rock, and... Jeremiah did a pretty darn good promo, which I expected because I've actually seen Jeremiah do promos in MMA, believe it or not, and he's pretty good. Luke Robinson did a good promo. Andy Levine, nothing. Christina, less than nothing. Terrible. And AJ, I'm figuring, this guy's going to be boring. He ain't going to do anything, right? Fucking awesome promo. Like,
really?
Like, much better than anyone on Raw tonight. I mean, just awesome, you know. I mean, Austin and I think Austin or Rock, I forget which one, called it a triple. Like, so not a home run, but a triple. But it wasn't enough to save him, and he was still getting blamed for that Christina injury, which he, by the way, blamed himself for as well. So it convinced him that it was his fault as well.
Well, there you go.
But it was at the end. It was interesting because Andy Levine. The bottom three were Andy, Christina, and AJ, and then Austin said he was cutting two of the three. And Andy Levine was getting so mad, and Austin was just pushing his buttons and making him madder and madder until he finally blew up, which he did, and he finally showed some fire. But he said, you know, like, he was so pissed about the bottom three and that basically, without saying Austin had no judgment, but kind of intimating that the only two people here who can make it as stars are Christina and myself. You know, I guess him because he's big and Christina because she's very pretty. And the rest of them, you know, no matter what they could do or how good they were technically, they weren't going to be WWE superstars because, you know, the guys weren't big enough. And with the women, whether she can work or not, the fact is women are judged based on their looks, and she's got a very pretty smile, and she's a good-looking girl. So And when he said that, I was thinking, you know, there's probably people in WWE watching this and, you know, saying, you know, thinking the exact same thing, that, like, Luke's not big enough and Jeremiah's not good enough, you know, even though he can talk and he's kind of colorful in a way. He's got a good personality. But Andy's a big, you know, he's a big dude, you know. But I don't know. Like, to me, that's all he's got going for him is he's a big dude. Christina, on the other hand...
A lot of people have gone a long way with that being the only thing they got going for him.
Yeah, but it's harder now.
Yeah.
I mean, I think just being a big dude now, who, you know, they're trying with Mason Ryan, but Mason Ryan's a big dude with muscles. This guy's just a big, you know, big football player dude, you know, the, you know, without the special body or anything, just, you know, not that he ain't going to make it. He may have more potential in the long run if he can get out of his shell than the other guys based on the fact that he does have size. But anyway, he ended up getting saved, and the other two went home. So AJ, you know, promo didn't save him, and Christina just, Austin did not think that she had enough fire to make it. So that was the story on that. It's down to three. Next week is the final episode. They're going to show clips of them from FCW, I'm guessing, that they taped on Thursday. Interesting, at FCW, when they did the taping, they swerved because they had Christina do matches, even though she was cut. They didn't bring AJ in, but they brought Christina in. So I saw what happened there, and I was thinking, like, wow, Christina's in the final three with with the other two. And Christina, even though she came back and the ankle was only sprained, she couldn't really do much of anything. She didn't do nothing in the ring. She couldn't go in the ring, but they had her do, promos, which pretty much killed her, actually, because she just couldn't do a promo.
Yeah.
She didn't really have, she really didn't show any personality.
Well, I shall look forward to that show. It's and it'll be replaying next week as well, after Raw. I guess it's after Raw. That's how they do it now. So, anyway, we got a lot of stuff coming up here on the site. Johnny Gargano is on the show tomorrow. In fact, we got about 8 million shows coming up in the next couple of days. Johnny Gargano tomorrow, Todd Martin tomorrow, Brian and Vinny's show tomorrow, Brock on Wednesday, Jens Pulver on Wednesday, and Dave and Mike Coughlin on Wednesday.
Holy shit.
Yeah. Then we head to Vegas, and we got
Holy crap, shows like every day. A lot of stuff going on.
Yeah. Got a new Figure Four coming out one of these days. It may not be tomorrow.
The Observer may be a day late. I got so much, I just say this, you know, I got so much stuff on Randy Savage. It's like daunting, to say the least.
Yeah.
I mean, I talked to Dusty Steamboat. Fascinating interview with Steamboat today. I would have actually talked to him on Friday, but that's another story as well, which I might as well tell since I started it. Ricky Steamboat was in, he was in a, like you know, a state of shock, essentially. I mean, it was really weird because, you know, he told me that, you know, like, I mean, I don't know how many guys that are wrestlers that he's known that have died, but given the number of years he's been in the business, it's got to be 2 or 3 dozen. And he said that this hit him much harder than any of them, even though the reality was that he didn't hardly know Randy Savage. You know, it's like, hey, I was going like, you know, like after your match, did you ever, you know, like, did you talk to him? He goes, I would say hi to him, and that's it. You know, say hi. And, you know, never, you know, they had the match, which he says, you know, pretty much, anytime you meet someone, that match comes up. But he just said he was in a complete state of shock. It hit him really hard. Cell phone, his son called him. This is well before it actually broke. His son found out and called him. Actually, he had gotten off the plane because he was flying from home to Charlotte. And so he's in Charlotte, and his he's so shocked, his cell phone ends up in the ice water. So, and it's, you know, he's kind of freaking out because he knows that, like, everyone's going to be talking to him, so, and his cell phone's not working, so he takes a blow dryer and tries to, like, dry it off, and he's getting all these texts, but it keeps going out, and he spends like 2 hours trying to make the phone work, and it doesn't work. So then he goes, I gotta get a new cell phone. So he goes in the car, he gets stuck in traffic, and anyway, the whole point is that Friday was, he was in a complete daze all day Friday, but he was so that was him, and you know, just talked to some people who played baseball with him, and movies. I got so much notes on that, but fascinating stuff on Savage. A lot of there's two sides to this stuff. The Elizabeth stuff and everything that no one's really talking about, but there's that stuff there. Everyone knows how he kept her under lock and key. He was good and his bad, and the whole eccentric stuff. The thing at Bryan Adams' wedding, he was at Bryan Adams was like the only guy who he kept in contact with. They were very good friends, crush. And Bryan Adams died of an overdose a couple years back, and Randy went to the funeral, and nobody knew who he was, and nobody recognized him. And he was actually in a conversation. It was Bret Hart, Jericho, and Randy, and they're all talking. And Bret Hart and Jericho, they're having a conversation, and the other guy's talking, and they're both going like, who's this old guy? You know what I mean? They had no idea he was anyone in the business. And then Jericho kind of figured out it was Randy Savage, and Bret didn't at all. And then Bret, Randy finally goes and tells Bret who he is, so... And neither ever saw him again. That was the last time they both saw him. So, I don't know. Just a lot of stuff there.
So that's coming up in the Observer in a couple of days, everybody. So, check out the front page. We'll have a lot more coming up. And, that's it from here. We'll talk to you again very soon.